Welcome back to the Hoops Temple podcast. Y'all know me, Nathan Schwartz, a.k.a. Nate underscore Hoops Temple on TikTok. Joining me from Sacramento, Possible Chairs, a.k.a. Aaron Schroeder.
How you doing, Nate? Happy football Sunday. How's your fantasy team doing?
Oh, that's actually a good question. I think one of my leagues is winning, and then the league that I don't really care about and accidentally auto-drafted is losing.
Surprise.
But I'm okay with that. How about you? How are you looking?
It's going all right. I'm in a 14 team dynasty league, so the talent is pretty diluted, and I'm also a rebuilding team to start with the youngest roster in the league. But I'll score not the lowest points. I will lose, but it wasn't a bad week. Bijan Robinson had a nice day, which was good to see.
How many years into dynasty are you?
This is the first season, actually. This is the first season. So I drafted a young team intentionally.
Okay, so you intentionally chose to be bad so that way you can like fight and grow and be good later.
Yeah, I wanted to explore what a dynasty league was really even about and like how to play the long game in a sense and what that would be like. And I always felt like regular dynasty leagues are just kind of a slog because there's teams like everyone's trying to make the playoffs. Everyone's trying to win. There's no incentive to do anything else. So there's no reason to make trades that aren't like insane win-wins, which no one's going to find. Like that doesn't exist unless like it's a positional thing. It's just so rare. So I like the idea of being like, I'll give you this young player for an old player. And like, even when you lose, it's not the end of the world. My team name is Horrendous for Harrison because I'm tanking for Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State.
Nice. I'm in one dynasty league and I kind of wish that I just sold off all of my players. It's a basketball dynasty league. I wish I had sold off all my guys last year to get Wemby. But the problem is that my team is really good. And like,
yeah,
I've been in the championship all 3 years and I think I've won two out of three. I forget which two, but
you know, Nate, I'm a little nervous because you're in our league. You joined my league and I've won back to back titles. No one comes close to me. And, you know, I really hesitated inviting you because I really liked winning. And I figured that by bringing you in, you'd kind of rain on my parade. But we'll see what happens. It's 14 teams again, and it's dynasty. I have the fourth pick, and yeah, I think you're way down like 13.
I have two strategies for basketball, and they're not that hard. I think there are things that anyone can do. One, outwork someone. I'm tonight winning my WNBA fantasy league, which is my first year playing. I will go 11-0. and I just, you know, you pay attention, you do the waiver wires, you add, you drop, you make moves, you make sure that you never start an injured player. Like,
yeah,
bare minimum that gets you like 500.
It will. It really will. Just moving around.
And then the second thing is I find some idiots in the league because every league has that friend that you're like, listen, he's a great guy. We got to have him in here. That's me in my fantasy football leagues. Mm-hmm. I'm an easy mark. And so I don't make trades. Like, we've got this guy, Tyler, in my league that, like, the worst he ever finishes is third every year. And Tyler will send you a trade request. And it's like, don't ever accept what Tyler's selling you because he knows something that you don't know. Like, don't trade with Tyler.
Yeah, I get that. The issue is in our league, most of them don't know basketball to the extent where they won't even trust themselves to make that trade. So they'll just deny it. They'll just deny it from the start and be like, I don't know basketball. Like, I'm sorry. Just understand that for most of these people, if you're trading with them, you're actually trading with them. Like, because they're going to come to me and be like, Aaron, I can show you this. So just understand, you can't fool basketball most of these people.
And so I have to offer them a trade that you would accept.
That's true. That's true.
That's actually a really perfect segue because we're about to, you know, pick guys 76 through 100. So I can be paying attention to who you value here. And then be like, hey, listen, you want a Kelly Oubre Jr.? Aaron thinks he's pretty good.
I do not. I do not. All right. That's true. You can just reference the top 100.
Well, who do you have for 76? Because at this point, I got like five names I like and then 20 names I think should be here. But I'm not really sure which spots.
We went back and forth on KCP and Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma last episode, and Kuzma was the odd man out. I think he should be the next guy. Last season, you're looking at 21 points per night, 7 boards, almost 4 assists. His efficiency is pretty bad, but that's really coming from the team not being great and him being kind of the first option on that mediocre team. I think there's a world where he can have a much smaller role on a much better team. And I think 76 is pretty appropriate, because he's going to be next to guys who can have that smaller role, like a Dorian Finney-Smith or like a KCP, essentially. The only issue with Kuzma is his contract doesn't really allow that, but I don't think that's going to affect my ranking too much.
I like it. I would like to make the case for 77 to be Jordan Poole, because I think these two guys are going to have very similar cases. I think Poole will probably have more assists than he's ever had in his career. I'm kind of interested to see who is the main ball handler. They also have one of the Joneses, Tyus. Is it Tyus or Trey that ended up there? The one from Memphis that's a fantastic ball handler.
Tyus Jones. Tyus, yeah.
It's Jalen and Jaden McDaniels all over again. Just the two brothers getting me mixed up. But I think that both of these guys are going to have career high scoring years, probably questionable efficiency years. But like this is our chance to see, will either of these guys ever be all-stars? Because they're going to get the run.
For sure. This is the first player I'm pulling out of my dishonorable mentions. That was Russell Westbrook, Christian Wood, Jordan Poole, DeAndre Ayton, and Ben Simmons. I'm okay with Jordan Poole up here. Where do we have him heading into last season? Can we find that really quick?
66.
See, and I feel like I don't want to punish him too much. He has a new environment.
I mean, last year did not go the way that he wanted to. He got punched in the face. I think that there's always bounce back potential. My same case for DeAndre Ayton of he's not going to be playing with this guy that yells at him all the time. Jordan Poole is not going to be playing with someone who yells at him all the time and punches him in the face. Like,
I feel the vibes like have Poole to be had better. It worse than Ayton. Poole got hit. Like Chris Paul like yells at people, but at least he's not like physical. You like actually fear your life.
There's something about being bullied by someone bigger than you versus someone that's smaller than you. Like I would feel very bad if someone smaller than me is just giving me shit all the time. There's nothing I can do about it. Like, I don't know, just the Chris Paul thing. I'm really on the DeAndre Ayton's going to have a better year this year.
I mean, maybe, but what would that really be worth? Okay, so we have Kuzma at 76, we have Poole at 77. I'm going to give you a choice between my two nominations here. Your two centers, depends what kind of rebounders you want. One with an afro or one without an afro. We have a Jared Allen or we have Steven Adams. Take your pick.
Ooh, I think Adams has been the significantly better rebounder for quite some time.
He has been. Per 36 minutes, he was 15 boards a game last season.
Also, like Adams' rebounding numbers have been weird because there was the time where he would let Westbrook get them. But like the Thunder percentage of rebounds with him on or off the court was like dramatically different. It was very clear that he was the catalyst for rebounding, not Russ, even though Russ was getting the boards. Also, when he kind of went down, that's when Memphis went a little crazy. I love the Steven Adams pick here. We did not have him in our top 90 last year. I think that was an underration for us.
Yeah, for sure. I think another aspect with Adams is his passing. Allen doesn't really have any of that to offer, where Adams was, per 36 minutes, was a 3.1 assists per game last season. In regular minutes, just 2.3, which is only one more. But I think if you're in the 1-1.5 assists per game, you're not facilitating. Like, those happen kind of accidentally in a sense, where it's like, oh shit, here you go, like, here's the basketball. Where I feel like Adams actually has a little bit of like, I'm at the top of the key, almost Draymond-esque, not to the Draymond extent, but at least more than Allen does.
I like it. Could I maybe offer one name to have over him, and this may just be a little bit of recency bias, today the U.S. lost to Canada, but what about Dylan Brooks at 78 and then Steven Adams? I'm just thinking, a two-way defensive wing, a guy with something to prove. Yes, you're not going to have that shot efficiency out there. I don't think he's going to get 36 points in any game this season like he just did against Team USA, but the man plays very good defense.
Yeah, I just can't imagine Steven Adams contributing less to winning this season than Dylan Brooks does in Houston. And maybe that's just a situation thing, well, it is, but I don't think you're going to look back and be like, man, what an awesome Dylan Brooks season, where I think you could look back and say like, man, Steven Adams is like really important in a conference finals run or a second round playoff run or something.
I at least think with Dylan Brooks, we might not say what an awesome Dylan Brooks season, but like last year there were people being like, ah, he's going to China next year. I'm like, no, he's not going to China. He is a top 100 player. He is a team that any contender would have wanted. And I think if Houston hadn't come in with that sweetheart offer that way exceeded the market value, like he was going to come to LA for 10, or he was going to go to, you know, whatever the Eric Gordon money was to Phoenix. What is that, like 6 or something? Like, he would have been contributing to winning on a contender had Houston not said, fuck it, let's just light money on fire.
Let's do Adams, Brooks, and then Allen. What do you think? Fair deal? Or at least Adams and then Brooks.
Adams and Brooks, I'm good with. I don't know about Allen. Like, we had him at 54 last year. I just,
yeah, 54.
I didn't feel any more growth, any more development. And I do think...
Did you feel 30 spots backwards in development?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so here's the thing. 30 spots in this range, if we're like lining guys up on 2K rosters, we're talking like dropping from like 84 to 82. Like, there's just so many guys in this cluster that it's not like he got that much worse. It's just there's so many guys that this is a fraction of a point. And there was no growth. He's a rim-running big who can catch lobs. With the balls in Donovan Mitchell's hands, he's not going to catch a lot of lobs. Defensively, he can get bullied on the boards. I guess that's just offensively or defensively, rebounding-wise. You know, he's a really good shot blocker. But I think for Cleveland to take the next step forward is... for Evan Mobley to take the next step forward. And part of Evan Mobley taking the next step forward is potentially Jared Allen playing less. So I'm not entirely sure how to feel about him.
Do you have another name to offer to supplant Jared Allen?
Marcus Smart.
Yeah, let's do it. No, I think I like that. I'm all in for the Tony Allen resurgence for Marcus Smart. It's too similar not to work.
Oh, yeah. You know, Smart's just going to go down to Memphis, and he's going to teach them boys how to play defense the Boston way.
I appreciate the accent. Okay. Dylan Brooks at 79, Smart at 80.
Yeah, Boston's never been my best accent, but...
It's pretty solid the thing with accents is if you do it for too long, you tend to lose it in some spots, and I feel like you stayed consistent.
Fair enough. All right. Who else? It's a good group.
It's a good group. I want to note, before the podcast, obviously Dylan absent right now. He is terribly sick, dying of the flu. He may never come back. But in his dying breath, he asked me to make sure that Dorian Finney-Smith is above Rui Hachimura. So I'm just going to put in Dorian Finney-Smith's name in Dylan's memory.
I believe he said above Christian Wood, which...
Did he?
Yes. Yes.
See, I wasn't listening when he was dying.
Great. The man dies and you disrespect. Yes, I'm pulling it up. It is
okay.
Please.
Is Christian Wood?
Yes. It is his dying request. Which Christian Wood signed with the Lakers. I know we're doing this top 100. We're not really kind of reporting on things going on in the league right now. I think this is an awesome spot for Christian Wood. I don't know if he's even a starter. I think this is great spot bench minutes of him next to AD. You know, when you start staggering LeBron and AD, he could be out there, maybe.
He's a good stretch big for what they need right now. And I think AD covers up a lot of his issues. I could see that those minutes happening, but I see people putting in the Lakers starting five and Christian Wood's in it, and I'm like, we're getting carried away again. I'm getting way carried away.
Listen, anytime you see a Lakers starting five and they have D'Angelo Russell in there, like, it's we're going to have four all-stars or five all-stars with Austin. It, like, that's the thinking. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no. Wood and D'Lo, like, that's just not a good lineup. Don't put those guys all out there together. You want to have some defense-offense balance. What's the case for Dorian Finney-Smith at this high?
3-and-D wing, man. Just a really excellent defensive wing. Those are hard to come by, and he's a capable three-point shooter. The percentage isn't fantastic. It's like 35%, but the volume's pretty good.
Was it?
Well, it wasn't like Hachimura low, like, but it was it 5 a game or something?
5 a game at 33%. It's really not that good. He's at 8 points per game last season.
3-and-D wing, man. He's the reason the Mavs fell apart.
Okay, to be a 3-and-D wing, you need to play D.
Not
play D. You need to hit a 3. That's yeah.
Okay, well, I wanted to throw his name out there just in Dylan's memory.
I promise Dylan
quoted his dying wish, but if you had another player, I'd love to hear it.
I promise Dylan that Dorian Finney-Smith will be higher than Rui or Christian Wood. I don't plan to nominate another Laker. Maybe we get down to it, like, it's guy 99. I sneak one of them in here, but
okay. I had them in here. I had Rui in here. I think he's pretty good, but
I love what Rui did in the playoffs last year. Just like, that was a
he got super hot.
He got super hot
on like ridiculously low volume.
What do we think about RJ Barrett or Keldon Johnson?
Keldon Johnson was a beautiful tank commander. Shout out Keldon for my fantasy championship last year. 20 of the most empty points you could find, but he's still very talented. I really don't like any of these guys. let's do Keldon Johnson. I feel like as the Spurs get a bit better, he's going to develop a bit more. And I feel like there's something to Keldon Johnson being like still a functioning person after going through like a season like last season where they were the worst defense of all time. Mm-hmm. Like someone like Jalen Green hasn't survived the Rockets rebuilding years. Like that's clearly affected his like stock and his play, where I feel like Keldon is still in a good enough situation where he's going to rebound pretty well when the games do start to matter.
I played ball with this guy growing up that we nicknamed Cannonball. Short, stocky, just would drive through the lane like a cannonball and just plow through guys. I kind of feel like that's what Keldon can do. He's got this big body. He's got acreage. And I think having the spacing of Wemby could really unlock a more efficient 20 points per game for him. Because like last year, it's not the most efficient in scoring. He's fine, but you start getting a little bit more spacing around him. I think he's going to look a lot better. And we could be experiencing a really nice Keldon season.
I think I'm in. I'm looking at RJ Barrett's stats. Last season, he was 20 points and, sorry, 2022, he was 20 points and 6 boards and 3 assists on 41% shooting from the field. And then we had him 72nd heading into last season. And he takes a bit of just not kind of a weird step back. Honestly, it's like the one less minute per game brings him down to like 19.6 and a little less boards and a little less assists. And his field goal percentage is better, but his three point percentage is worse. And I feel like it's about time. We had him 72nd, looking at 82nd right now, so 10 spots back for his crimes last season.
81st.
80. I thought we locked in Keldon Johnson. 81.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about Keldon. All right, you moved on to RJ Barrett. That makes sense.
Moved on to RJ Barrett, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Barrett struggles to put together several good games in a row, but the good games look really nice. Like, when he's out there and he's aggressive and attacking, yeah, there is a little bit of Jaylen Brown where he fumbles the ball away, but there are also games where he doesn't fumble it, and you're just hoping that he has more of those games. I do think his defense is overrated, but we're talking about guy 82, not guy 34. Like, I think that's a good spot for him.
Okay, moving at a good pace.
Could I offer you two Timberwolves?
Sure.
So we've got Jaden McDaniels and Mike Conley, yes.
I really do like Mike Conley. I thought he was kind of washed up, and then he gets traded to Minnesota, and you're like, this is actually pretty good. Like, maybe that was just a Utah problem in a sense, and the creation's really important, especially because Kat and Towns and Gobert really can't do it on their own, and he's just out there to run the offense, and I think he's really effective.
Yeah, he's been above 40% from three for like the last couple of years. He started off slow in Utah, but then was 42% from three here this year in Minnesota. And that spacing is really big. It allows him to play on or off ball. He knows how to find Rudy Gobert, and their minutes together worked out really well. So if you're trying to still maintain value for Gobert, I think putting the ball in Conley's hands is going to be essential. I know he's going to be 36 next year, which is not a great age to be as a point guard. But, you know, with Edwards there, it shouldn't be as taxing on him.
I'm in. Let's lock him in at 83. I have an offer for you.
Okay.
Let's do Anfernee Simons.
Interesting. So I was wondering when we were going to get down to a guy like Anfernee Simons. You're just great scorer, could be having a breakout year. I question, though, do you expect Simons to get more run this season? Or would you expect, why am I blanking on names? Their other guard.
Or Shaden Sharp or Shaden Henderson. Sharp. Yeah.
Shaden.
Maybe. It's possible that Sharp takes more time away. But even if he doesn't, and it's just the same as last year, we're looking at 35 minutes a game, 21 points a game. But Simons is just a flamethrower from deep. He shot 38% from three on 9 attempts per game. And he gets hot sometimes and just has these explosions where it's like 4 threes in a quarter or something. And I don't think he's going to be playing any meaningful minutes this year in terms of the Blazers not being very good. But where did we have him last year, Simons? We had him
64.
That's let's not hurt him. He was better than he was the year before that.
Well, well, we also didn't really go back and analyze, did we do a good job ranking these players last year? So I don't.
We did a great show. It was perfect. What do you mean? It was perfect. Well, I'm just saying we anticipated a jump. The jump kind of came. Like, the numbers tell you that it happened, and then we're like, yeah, he actually sucks.
Yeah, it just didn't contribute to winning. It kind of the same thing you guys were saying last episode with Shaedon Sharpe was, hey, they were intentionally trying to lose games, and they put this guy out there, and then they lost games. So I'm okay with it at 84.
Great.
Not too much to fight back on.
Can we touch on Jared Allen again? Brought him up earlier.
I think this is a good spot. Yeah.
Right.
I'm looking through the other names. I'm like, there are other names that I think could be better. But if you told me Jared Allen is better, I wouldn't be surprised. And it's a long regular season. We know Allen's been good. I'll go for the surefire thing. I'm going to throw a bunch of names at you, and I want you to tell me which one you like.
All right, I'm on it.
Already said Jaden McDaniels, but just throwing that name back out there. Mitchell Robinson, Buddy Hield, Al Horford, and Kevon Looney.
Of those, I like Kevon Looney the most.
I thought you might. I did a post about Team USA losing, and I know you've said some stuff about it, Team USA losing. And my basic takeaway was that we need to go Taylor's version on this. We need to introduce the Swifty, you know, specialty and just put it all in the hands of like one star, as opposed to trying to get this collection of B tier all stars. Like we focus and we say, hey, whoever you are, like, let's get good role players around you, because we need players to do the dirty work. And someone commented on that. I was like, yeah, if we just had a guy like Kevon Looney, we probably don't lose this rebounding battle. We have like a size. And I'm like, yeah, why don't we bring a guy like Kevon Looney? Like, it just,
we had Walker Kessler. They didn't play him.
Except for against Canada, and they started him and played him the whole game instead of Jaren Jackson, or half the game. But
it's tough offseason from Jaren Jackson. How are you feeling about his placement at 22?
Loving it.
You like it? You're still in it?
Yeah.
He's the worst rebounder on our team.
He's got Steven Jackson or Steven Adams. He'll be fine.
What sport are we playing?
I mean,
my favorite Rams running back, Steven Jackson.
The thing that I like about Jaren, it's Jaren Jackson, Steven Adams, they're Steven, yeah, Jackson together. The thing that I like about him is when Ja was suspended for those 8 games, he really showed that he could also be an offensive catalyst and drive and score that way. And I think with Ja suspended, he's going to get a lot more favorable whistle in the NBA than what he's used to. Because like, you do star calls happen all the time in the league. And if you're the second or third guy, you stop getting them. But when you're the first guy, you get a lot of star calls.
You do. You do. The NBA is like the WWE compared to what FIBA is. Like, FIBA, mm-hmm, is like real wrestling, like Brock Lesnar. Well, actually, that's the bad example because he would pro eventually. But like Brock Lesnar in college, when he was actually wrestling people, and then the NBA is like, oh no, he's coming with a chair. Oh, John Morant got a call. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. The Rock wouldn't last in this league.
That's true.
And that's partially because he's the size of Steph Curry.
That's true. It's just, I don't, it's so strange. It's so strange. Think about football, like the big wide receivers, like Julio Jones is like, oh my God, you can't even bring him down if you try it. It's like, he's the same height and weight as Steph Curry.
I love showing my wife pictures of like NBA players next to normal people. It's like, I forget who it was. Oh, it was The Rock with Charles Barkley and Shaq. Have you seen those photos?
Of course, I've seen those photos.
It's just like The Rock looks so small. And I'm like, sweetie, I just want to put in perspective like how big these guys are. Because she'll see some of them and be like, oh, that guy looks kind of tiny. And I'm like, no, that guy is still bigger than me. He's just next to giants.
Okay, speaking of giants, a tinier player. I want to offer Bruce Brown. Mm. Very important to the finals run, to the championship run. Last season, 20 minutes a night, 12 points, 4 boards, a little over 3 assists. He plays great defense. He can facilitate a little bit, knocks down some threes. He does it all. He's going to be on a Pacers team that's going to be trying to make the playoffs. I think he's going to really help with that. I think this is where I want Bruce Brown.
Do you expect Bruce Brown to take over the starting spot? Listen, I know you have your anti-Buddy Hield hatred, but Buddy is a sniper.
No, he is. Even if he doesn't, I still would rather have Bruce Brown. I guarantee the Pacers will be better when he's playing.
I think Bruce Brown made my 120 person shortlist, but I think you're right. I don't hate the call.
Buddy Hield can play small forward anyways. He's like 6'6" or something, isn't he?
No, he's not that big.
I watched him. He's on my team for like 7 years.
And you don't know that he's not 6'5"? I'm betting you he's 6'4". Pulling it up
says,
now.
It says 6'4". He's a big 6'4".
Big 6'4". What does that mean?
Well, he's like 6'5".
Listen, everyone lies on their height to make themselves taller. I will never assume that someone is bigger than their listed height unless there's like a lot of evidence. Or you hit the 7-foot mark, then I'll believe that you're like 7'2" or something. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a lot of guys that didn't want to be 7'2". All right. So we lock in Bruce Brown at 87. Now we've got like 13 spots left. Who are some of the guys that maybe you're not ready to make the mark for yet, but you don't want to live without?
Kevin Huerter, fantastic 3-point shooter, moves off the ball really well, and honestly, spent a lot of time with the ball in his hands. He ended up really being our backup point guard when Malik Monk wasn't in, because it was Fox and Huerter. And Malik would come off the bench, but Davion can't hold the basketball without turning it over. And so after game like 5, we're like, okay, like we actually don't have a backup point guard, and Huerter and Monk are going to kind of share responsibilities. And I thought Huerter really took a step forward in that sense from off-ball sniper of the three-point shooter that he is into kind of these mid-range jumpers and getting guys involved. And him and Sabonis like work really well. I think he shot like 50% off those triple handoff threes that he ran so many times. I think he's going to play a lot of nice minutes and contribute to winning basketball.
Okay, but he's not your nomination for 88.
I don't think I can get there quite yet.
Okay, he's just someone that you want to have on this list. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm putting an A next to his name to be like a guy that Aaron says has to be here. I'm gonna say that my guy that has to be on here is DeAndre Ayton, and I know a guy that Dylan That's had fine. That he wanted to have at in the top 75 that we've now not discussed yet is Bojan Bogdanović, the Pistons one. From the last episode.
The 3-and-D wing.
Yeah. There's also Dorian Finney-Smith. And I think Al Horford needs to make this list.
I agree with that. I have Horford in here. I have Bojan in here. I have Finney-Smith in here.
Dort?
Who? Sorry, what?
Lou Dort?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that, yeah.
Aiden McDaniels?
I didn't have him, but he should be. Yeah, he should be.
Mitchell Robinson?
Didn't have him.
I think there's a case, but I think if we just start putting N's and D's and A's next to all of these guys for who are our guys that we're willing to fight for and willing to be wrong on, I think Mitchell is going to be just off that list. I'm just going to start reading through some names. I want to know if we need to discuss them or if we feel comfortable bumping them off the list.
Okay.
Devin Vassell.
I didn't have him. I really didn't.
I think Devin Vassell could have a really good year. You know, we're looking at almost 39% three-point shooting, and now he's going to have more spacing and another person take things off of his, you know, off of his hand. But I'm okay leaving him off. Nikola Vucevic.
No, I didn't have him either.
Really?
No.
I think Vu needs to.
He wasn't last year. wasn't last year, and he wasn't much better.
He was 89 last year on our list.
Was he?
Yeah. But...
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Listen... The guy is capable of 40-point nights. He can be the hub on offense with his passing. He does. Let's do the rebounding.
Okay. He's not an all-star, top 100. But... I'll give it to you. Let's do Cam Johnson. Can we get him at 88?
Let's do Dorian Finney-Smith.
And then Cam Johnson.
Yeah.
All right.
Deal. Yeah. I think Cam is a more polished offensive player, but I would much rather have Dorian Finney-Smith's defense. And if you're Brooklyn, you get to have both, and then decide who you like better.
Okay, I have another young guy that I talked about earlier, but I think it's possible. I think he might be good. Where's your Jalen Green stock at?
I think we need to have Jalen Green on this list. We might have already pushed him down too far. We haven't seen
it. I don't know about that. I think we're being pretty nice, but...
He's a young guy. He's a young guard who has had one of the most dysfunctional franchises around him. He hasn't really helped that dysfunction. You might be even able to talk me into like Jabari Smith Jr. being above him, but like he has the ball handling capabilities. He will be playing next to Fred Van Vliet and potentially Dylan Brooks. It's an adult lineup. Jack Londo will be there. Jeff Green, like they will now finally have adults in the room that like, if we're going to see it from Jalen Green, this is going to be the year where we start to see something.
I'm interested. I went and saw Kings versus Rockets last year and the Rockets are awful. That was like one of the worst teams I've ever seen in my life. But it was pretty obvious that like Jalen Green was the last single strand of talent holding that team together. He had some nice threes and some good buckets that just kept him in it when they were clearly overly outmatched.
Any Shangoon stock?
Yeah, actually, I did have him. I had him in the top 100.
Okay. Not yet, though.
No. Okay. My next guy is, this is 91.
Yep.
It's Herter. I think it's Herter time.
You think it's Herter time?
Dude's a ridiculous three-point shooter.
Okay. So I just want to let you kind of know the other names that we've got on this list that we've marked that need to be on here are Bojan Bogdanović, DeAndre Ayton, Al Horford, Lou Dort, Jaden McDaniels, and Buddy Hield. And you'd rather have Herter than all of those guys.
I'd rather have Herter, yeah. I really would. Lou Dort shot less than 40% from the field last year. Fantastic defensive player. Don't get me wrong. I think when the Thunder start winning games, you're going to see like 10 point per game Lou Dort. And he's just the defense guy.
Yeah, but he is a defense guy. And
yeah,
I hate to do this to you, but Buddy Hield.
There's no way.
Almost two more three-point attempts a game.
Yeah.
And 42.5% as opposed to 40%.
Now, he's a fantastic shooter. He's a dangerous shooter. I watched him. Dude is really bad on defense. And Kevin Herter is bad on defense, but he's not Buddy Hield bad on defense. I think Buddy Hield's the worst defensive shooting guard in the league. And look, there's a few interesting things, though, because I did see a few interesting posts recently about how he is a really versatile defender and actually spent a lot of time guarding like power forwards and small forwards and stuff. But in terms of like just getting blown by, maybe that's why they have him on those bigger guys, so he can't get just run by.
Just get smoked.
Yeah. My dad called him Buddy Yield. That's my favorite nickname ever.
Oh, damn. That's... All right. But then we're locking in Buddy right behind him. If your Kings fandom says you have to do it this way, I want to push back, but for the sake of the pod, sake of the agreements, I mean, like 42% on almost 8.5 threes a night, that is insane. That is fire incarnate. Like, you're not going to get much better than that.
Okay, I have a spicy nomination. It's a little spicy. Is she ready?
Oh, I feel like you're going to try to appeal to my Lakers sensitivities and put in Alex Caruso.
I am. That's right.
Fuck yeah.
First team all defense. He had the best defensive, like for the 538 win shares or whatever the hell that was. He had that going for him. You know, they got rid of that, like that doesn't exist anymore. All those numbers, all that stuff, the Raptor, the war, it's all gone.
Yeah, I don't blame them. It wasn't always the best. It was like, I appreciate the attempt.
It was cool. It was really cool. It was so cool. I have they 538 got bought and they gutted that entire thing. That was some of the coolest sports websites you ever have.
It was. It just like the numbers, they're hard to do. And like, I mean, I understand. I made a whole matrix to rank 5,000 something NBA players. And people will point out like, this guy's got a bad placement. This guy's got a bad placement. This guy's got a bad placement. Like, yeah, I know. It's one formula. It's not going to be perfect and encapsulated and knowledge everyone and all of their different intricacies. But like, I feel like people started doing that with War and with Raptor and with that of like, hey, this guy's got this or that. I'm like, it's cool.
Advanced stats are a lot of fun. I really like them. I mean, like, I feel like in a way, because I've used them so much and we've made so many skills, we've done all of that, we're actually more opposed to them than the average person. I had made a video about Devin Booker being the sick. We have him as the 15th best shooting guard ever. And some guy said his VORP is 12 and Vince Carter's VORP is 36 or something. And I'm like, I like looking at those, but I'm never like, oh man, the VORP.
Yeah.
What's going on? Well, okay, the thing is, well, John Stockton has the third most VORP ever. You guys take a VORP and wipe your ass with it at that point. Like, what does it matter?
Yeah, I mean, it can be a good point in an argument, but it should never be the whole argument.
Here's a good question. So that they adjusted VORP and box plus minus in 2017 because Russell Westbrook broke it with that season. Like, they didn't know how to factor in those kind of rebounds, and so that was the best season ever. Would you rather have that season be the best season ever or John Stockton be the third best player ever?
That season be the third best
ever. I agree.
That season, so
I agree.
I don't want to go off too much of a tangent before we lock in Caruso, because I wanted to push him back one spot for Jaden McDaniels.
Okay, sure.
All right, so Jaden McDaniels 93, Caruso 94, Westbrook tangent time. That Westbrook year is truly magnificent, truly impressive. And the next 2 years, the box score numbers are the same and all of the other impact drivers are down. All of the efficiency drivers are down. Like, you can love that year and then still say like he had a slide after that or wasn't as impactful. Like, the numbers show that. And it doesn't have to be either or. You don't have to hate on Westbrook indefinitely. And you don't have to like defend him indefinitely. You can look at that and say, this was an amazing year and he did all of this, and then say the next couple of years aren't as good because of these efficiency drivers.
Mm-hmm. I think you're totally right. I think you're totally right. I'd much rather, and I've tried to find it. I can't find it, but the old VORP in the old boxes minus, just see what we were working with. Because I think if I made an equation and John Stockton came out third, I'd be like, all right, time to trash that one. Let's go back to the drawing board. Let's figure this out. Like, what's going on? What are the issues we're having?
Yeah, one of my years when I did The Matrix, Karl Malone ended up above Bill Russell. And I was like, I should probably burn this.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you gotta realize the mistakes you've made.
Yeah.
Okay. We have Caruso at 94, McDaniels at 93. Let's come down to the wire. Let's add in Bojan Bogdanovic for Dylan.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Dylan. We let this guy slide that far. I think if he was on a different team and had a chance to play a bigger role, or not a bigger role, but a more impactful role, something that we cared about post-December, we'd probably have him higher. But until he gets traded at the deadline, I don't see it. I don't know why I should care. I actually should probably make a case for Jalen Duren over him. But until I see Jalen Duren start doing some of the stuff that he's promising on the court, I'm willing to be late to the party in a ranking sense. You're muted.
Sorry about that. How about Al Horford?
I like it.
All right.
Horford's old, but the defense is still really good.
I don't think he'll ever be bad. Last year, I fought tooth and nail because you guys had Horford end up putting him 77th. And I'm like, he's 1,000 years old. There's no way he's good again. And he was great again. there's no way he's good again. So we're moving down another 20 spots. But so impressive. Nate, we're down to just 4 spots left.
Wait, real quick. Did you know what Horford shot for 3 last year?
I don't know. Idea. I don't think there was a point where it was really bad, but I don't know what it ended up being for the season.
Do you want to guess?
31%.
I'm going to tell you this before you guessed 31, but I'm going to tell you this and see if it changes your mind. Okay. He attempted 5.2 a game.
Wow. I'm just going to stick. I'll stick with it. 31%.
44.6.
Whoa. Holy shit. Was it the playoffs where he stopped making them?
Yes. The playoffs was hot garbage. We're looking at 29.8.
That's where I was getting that number. God damn, he was really shooting well.
Yeah, he was a fucking. I mean, we just ranked Buddy Hield and Kevin Herter, and they are not close to his number.
Do you want to flip him?
No. I think we should.
Buddy Hield. Flip Buddy Hield and Horford. Leave Herter alone.
No.
Okay. Fine. All right. No. We only have 4 spots left.
All right. All right. And you had a guy that you said had to make it in Şengün. I have Lu Dort. I guess I'm not as attached to
him. I didn't say Şengün had to make it. I just said I had him. He's in there, but I'm okay. He's not in there.
I like the idea of taking some swings on some of the young guys is at this point. Because, you know, like if we put him or if we put Jaden Ivey or if we put Jabari Smith Jr. or Shaden Sharp in here, like, and they don't hit, oh, okay, whatever. But if we leave them off entirely and they do hit,
it's a bad look. Okay, I have a guard. I have a guard that I do want to have in. And I had him at 100, and I want to say he was like my big swing that I kept pushing people back for. It's Markelle Fultz.
No.
The Fultzissance is upon us. No. He was great last year. 14 points, 6 assists, 4 boards, a 51 to 31 to 78 splits. He's hitting his free throws. He's getting to the lane. He's a great guard.
What is your confidence level that he is the starting guard for Orlando this year?
Who's going to start above him?
The rookie they drafted?
Hell no. He started all 60 games last year. You think Anthony Black is going to surpass him? Plus, Black is like 6'6".
Yeah, they could play him together.
Yeah.
I guess he did snag the spot over Cole Anthony.
Cole Anthony is not an NBA player. Like, that guy's, he's not good. Any minutes they can take away from him is going to be a bonus for Orlando.
I really had a lot of Jalen Suggs stock. Like, I thought he was going to be better than what he was.
I'll leave Fultz at 100. How about Trey Murphy?
If we didn't already have Trey Murphy injured and gonna miss the next like 3 to 4 months, what's the timetable on this injury?
Having a Trey Murphy.
Torn meniscus. Oh, wow.
I totally missed that. That was 2 days ago, huh?
Yeah. No, because I had him on my list as well, but
he probably would have gone a lot earlier, huh? Had he not been injured. Okay, Herb Jones then in his spot.
What about a Jaden Ivey?
You know what? I do like it because you're right. Let's give some respect to the younger guys.
I like to lock in Jaden and Şengün here, 97 and 98. Just guys that could be in line for a breakout season. I think, you know, Benedict Mathurin is also kind of in this category of guys that we saw them put up numbers last year that were not particularly meaningful. Part of these teams getting better is these guys continuing to grow and putting up numbers that are meaningful. And if we anticipate them to get better and we anticipate them to put up meaningful numbers, this is the year.
Yeah, I think I'm into it. So we have two spots left. Can I throw in one that I do kind of like?
Yes, but first, can I actually flip Şengün to 97 and then Ivy to 98? Sure. I'm just thinking Şengün is going to get to play with actual offensive weapons that know what they're doing. And as like a pass first big man, like he could look really nice. We might even want to bump him up a bit.
Maybe. Okay, those offensive weapons are Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet. I'm all right. Let's not get too crazy.
Jeff Green.
That's the underrated veteran. Okay, my one guy was Kyle Anderson. Good defensive player.
Slow-mo.
Hits 41% of his threes at 1.5 attempts per game. He's a sniper up there twice per game. But 5 rebounds and 5 assists last year. Someone that was really important for Minnesota's facilitating.
I can't do it.
Okay.
I couldn't buy my
Kyle Anderson case.
No, I love Kyle Anderson. I think if we did 125, he's in there. It's just...
That doesn't say much, man.
5 Timberwolves in the top 100. That seems a bit much for me. I think with McDaniel's growth, he's going to short and take away some of the minutes. Also, Naz Reid, like, I'm not sure that Slomo's better than Naz.
Did we do Vucevic yet?
Yeah, we did Vu.
Where is he?
Did we not do Vu?
No, we didn't. We missed him.
No, we haven't done Vu. We also haven't done Valanciunas.
Where do you want to put Vucevic?
He can be Mr. 100.
Okay.
I think we need to have him on here. I think you can't have a guy that can be a 40 points or score 40 in a night a couple of times, which he did last year, not make a top 100. That's just...
Some interesting names left. Valanciunas, Clint Capella, Jakob Poeltl, Jordan Clarkson, Wendell Carter, maybe John Collins bounces back, Malik Monk, Tyus Jones, Emmanuel Quickly, Harrison Barnes.
Nick that I've got my eye on. What about Quentin Grimes?
Interesting. Expecting a little bit of a dream from Grimes, huh?
I think that there's a case for it. I think that he's shown that he can be their kind of secondary wing creator, both with the ball in his hands or just spacing. And the guy, another one of those top-notch shooters. I'm trying to pull up the post-All-Star game splits because I think he had really nice numbers.
I feel like I'd rather have Malik Monk than if we're just talking guards.
So post All-Star game on 151 threes, you want to guess the percentage?
42.
45.
Dang.
Yeah. How old is he at this point? We're looking at, he'll be age 23 season next year. I think he's ready for the leap. And I think the Knicks are actually built in the right way that they need someone to take the leap doing what he does. And so it's kind of a match made in heaven.
You think Tom Thibodeau is going to play someone under 25?
He played him this year.
Yeah, 29 minutes. Looking at their guards, they have so many guards. Grimes, Hart. Well, Hart's kind of bigger. Brunson, Quickly, DiVincenzo, the corpse of Evan Fournier, RJ Barrett.
Now, the knock against Grimes is that he had a god-awful playoffs. We're talking 5 points per game, 24% three-point shooting. So maybe not the best case.
Just, you know, had a good playoffs.
Who had a good playoffs? Quickly?
Malik Monk had a good playoffs. Quickly did not have good playoffs. Malik Monk had a nice playoff series. He had some big games, man. Big games.
He did. What did he do
this
the regular season?
This is for
though?
The 99 spot, right?
Yes. Yes. We put Vu at 100.
Okay. Jabari Smith Jr., Herb Jones, Kyle Lowry.
Nah.
Too old.
Yeah.
How about Bogdan Bogdanovic?
I think Atlanta plays so much better when Bogdan is out there.
Yeah.
Like,
he's a good player.
They just don't play him enough.
You want to say Valanciunas and call it good? Come on. You want this.
I do. I wanted to be more excited about the player. I think you're right. I think Valanciunas is the guy. Although he needs to be 100 and Vucevic can be 99.
Sounds good. All right. I'd be happy to read 76 or 100. Nate, are you ready?
That makes one of us that's happy about this.
I'm thrilled. 76 is Kyle Kuzma, Jordan Poole, Steven Adams, Dylan Brooks, Marcus Smart is 80, Keldon Johnson, RJ Barrett, Mike Conley, Anthony Simons, 85 is Jarrett Allen, Kevon Looney, Bruce Brown, Dorian Finney-Smith, Cam Johnson, 90 is Jalen Green, Kevin Herter, Buddy Hield, Jaden McDaniels, Alex Crusoe, Bojan Bogdanovic at 95, Al Horford, Şengün, Jaden Ivey, Vucevic, and Jonas Valanciunas.
I think we fucked up. We should put Devin Vassell in there.
No.
Okay.
Okay. I just feel like there's so many spots. We're talking about guys that are an 80 overall in 2K to the 81 with a potential of 82. Like, I just, maybe he's the 90th best player and we fucked it up and it's a huge disaster, but maybe he isn't. Maybe it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what this group is entirely. And good fodder for the TikTok people. Gonna say, hey, TikTok, tell us who we messed up. Tell us who you won in this grouping.
Something I want to do is Bleacher Report had their community rankings.
Ooh.
Their top 100 community rankings. I'm going to cross compare and I'll send you guys what I find. We're
going to be really close up top and really far off down below.
Honestly, not like looking at like 100 through 91. 100 is John Collins, then Jaden McDaniels, Keldon Johnson, Shaden Sharp, Bruce Brown, Bam Bogdanovich, Tobias Harris, Jaden Ivey, Robert Williams, and Shen Goon. Like, that's kind of, that's a very similar 10, especially if it's like, especially 91 to 100, where it's like, yeah. Who knows? The community, sorry, the staff of Bleacher Report had their own rankings that they put in a parentheses next to that ranking, and they had Keldon Johnson 78th.
I like it. I think we could be in for a really big Keldon year.
Yeah, they had Jalen Williams 84th. The fuck is wrong with you guys? Where do we have Jalen Williams?
Much higher.
Much higher. Huh. I can't even find him. 70th? Anyways, I'll put all those in a spreadsheet and I'll send you guys the biggest differences.
Perfect. And then, just so anybody that's listening at this point knows, we are bringing on a true professional to review our list, to discuss our list, to discuss breakout candidates. I believe it's going to be in the next 2 to 3 weeks, depending on scheduling. But we are bringing on the one, the only, the Ben Golliver of the Washington Post, of Bubble Ball, and occasionally will show up in 2K with those trade reports or the trade rumors. So be on the lookout for that.
Can't wait to see it.
Perfect. Well, Aaron, where can the people find you?
Possible Chairs on TikTok and this podcast whenever I find the time to edit episodes.
And you can find me, Nate_HoopsTemple on TikTok. Also email us at hoopstemple@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Na 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 na